The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Some Pharisees came to test Jesus. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Jesus answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. Jesus said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that Jesus might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter into it." And Jesus took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. When we hear this Gospel, we can pay attention to Jesus' appeal to how marriage was in the beginning. This goes to the foundation of marriage as God created it. And in Christ, the mystery that he established that is beyond human understanding in some ways. First, God created marriage in a certain sign pointing towards his nature as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he established it as a sacrament through Jesus Christ, which in Greek means mysterios, a sign pointing towards something that is beyond itself, something divine. And these should be kept in mind when we hear this gospel, the first reading to which Jesus refers to, and Hebrews, which designates that we have been called to enter into the family of God. See, in the beginning, as it says in Genesis, God created them male and female, and they were to be fruitful and multiply. This goes to the essence of marriage as God created it. Marriage and family are part of God's plan. Right here you see in the gospel, he blesses the little children. If you do not equate having children with marriage, you do not understand marriage as God created it in the beginning, and as he has sustained it through the centuries. See, we have a temptation in our time to think marriage is just a lifestyle choice. It's not connected to having children. This is an errant way of thinking in God's plan, confusion, and it doesn't open up to the sacrament of marriage. We then should recognize what the Lord has given to us and go back to the beginning in his plan and to see that there has been distortions and confusions. The first distortion and confusion to recognize is in nature, biological nature, that we can see and hear that Satan and the demons were already acting before Adam and Eve were on the scene, already causing confusion and chaos in the biological order. And some signs we have of this are the prophecies to come. The famous prophecy in Isaiah, that the lion shall sit down with the lamb. Well, in our experience, lion eats lambs. Okay, so there's something that is not quite right there. There's some confusion in nature even before Adam and Eve came. You know, Satan and the demons were at work. And we hear from St. Paul later in Romans chapter 8, the creation moans and groans for its redemption. And then we come to the story of Adam and Eve. If we pay attention, Adam, especially, was called to fight the serpent, to defend his bride. And Eve was called to take up that battle with him, to reject, renounce the words of the serpent, Satan. But they didn't. So confusion, disease, and death came into the world. And then we can recognize that confusion and disorder came into marriage and human nature. So when you're talking about our experience now, we see and experience confusion in nature, in the biological order, and confusion among males and females in human nature. We shouldn't say, okay, this is how it is now, therefore the church, or we should change our understanding. Because our experience is experience of humanity after original sin. This has been some of the explanation given to us by St. John Paul II in the Theology of the Body. We can't go back to the historic man. It is beyond our experience or grasping. But we can see the proto-sacrament of marriage in creation. Again, as St. John Paul II said, we can recognize that there was a certain symbolism given to us in the man giving himself over to the woman to the man, and opening up to a third, which is the child, or more children, the blessings of children. This image is the communion of persons in the Holy Trinity. The Father giving himself over to the Son, and the love between the Father and the Son is a third, the Holy Spirit. There's no generation like humans in the Holy Trinity, but there is a communion of persons. The marriage and family life point as a sign to the Trinitarian family life. This has been obscured in our time, confused. In some sense, it has been since original sin. But especially now, if we're tempted to jettison this, then it's quite easily that we jettison the plan of God, and even God himself, become practical atheists, as many people are today. They might even profess they believe in God, but they don't live as if there is a God. This is the temptation of our age. And the other is the difficulties and sacrifices that come with living marriage. As Catholics, we have the grace to have the sacrament of marriage, which is a sign of the union of Christ with his body, the Church. And I know many say this is difficult, just like the apostles right here. If you read the greater context, they're objecting, well, wouldn't that be marriage is like really difficult and I shouldn't get married? That was their objection. And I faced this as a priest over the years. Many couples I've encountered and done counseling with, the world said, oh, they should just separate, it's irreconcilable. Fighting and sacrificing and praying with them, doing deliverance prayers. Many of them helped to bring back together. Sometimes after years, this is a part of calling of Christian marriage. The temptation now is just to walk away. It's easier. It's not to believe in the mystery, the grace that is greater than either one of you. See, that's the foundation of marriage. And to know, too, that this fight for marriage is not just for the married themselves, but is for the whole of humanity. As St. John Paul II said, the future of humanity passes through the family. As goes the family, so goes society. In my inner city parish in Philadelphia, you saw that directly connected. Probably 90% of the families there were broken. Didn't have a father, perhaps, in the house, or second or third marriages. The children then didn't have stability. And you saw they didn't learn some life skills, like how to overcome difficulties, how to trust that people would be there for them. And I could see this coming out in the difficulty to get out of poverty. Those are connected. Broken family life and poverty. There's many studies on this. So this is to see, right there, the future of society passes through the family or the broken family. But there is good news in this. The Lord continues to work. And he continues to touch souls, to bring healing, to bring people awareness and education. The first and foremost right here is we should recall and understand divorce is a sin. The church has not changed her teaching on that. You enter into divorce, you enter into a sin. Okay. Now, if your spouse walked away from you, and you were trying to fight for the marriage, it's not your sin. You can still receive communion. The church also has recognized the possibility of getting to a safe place for separation because there's abuse, physical or extreme emotional abuse in the house. And I would always recommend that. You have the place right across the street that promotes that. We should be aware, too, there's a large amount of abuse among non-marital relationships. Okay? The idea that I'll just have a practice relationship. There's a lot of abuse among that. Okay? But to know that the Lord can heal even the most extreme and difficult cases, if one is open to that. One great example is from a couple that now does marriage ministry, Julia and Greg Alexandria, who have a book they put together called Marriage 911. In their personal testimony, they're saying that both of them were committing adultery on the side. Both of them were wandering and on the verge of divorce until the husband started to read about the theology of the body and the teachings of the church, and came to a renewed understanding, this is what marriage should look like. His first response was, we should pray together. The wife said, that's what made the glue that repaired their marriage, through the healing grace of the Lord, when they started to pray together, and then sacrifice, and to learn together more deeply the teachings of Christ on marriage and family life. See, the Lord can't repair what seems to the world unrepairable. As Pope Francis likes to give the image that his devotion of Our Lady Untier of Knots, especially started when he had a couple going through difficulty, who he recommended to this woman, the Blessed Virgin Mary. He said, "She unties knots. Go ask her to untie the knots." And the couple did. She untied the knots of their difficulties and challenges, helped them to sacrifice and pray together, recognizing that as a sacrament, marriage enters into the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord, which means you got to be crucified. You got to pass through the sufferings, the banquets, and the joys with the Lord, just as he had in life, to then experience the resurrection. And you have to trust in that, to trust in those graces. My own parents like to say, after 50-some years of marriage, they were married 3 times to the same persons, but they had to renew their own marriages. Say, "Yes, Lord, I accept these vows again." Just like we priests. "Yes, Lord, I accept this vow again." These vows of religious. To renew and enter more deeply into that act of trust that the Lord can give you the grace to persevere. And he can help you to be that sign to the world that love can last unto death, in some ways even to eternity, as we continue to celebrate the marriage of Joseph and Mary. Would then you would take hold of this trust of the Lord, and we would all defend marriage as God created it in the beginning, to understand it more deeply and to seek to promote the culture of marriage so that we too can see that sign in our culture, in our world today. A shining sign that love lasts, and that God is a family of love. His image is still real in this world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.